Accession number 16618, Reel 2.
Mr. Papworth, Reel 2.
So, shortly after that, I was taken ill. And I went to the doctor here at the RAP, and he said, "We'll evacuate you." So I went up and got my small kit, and I went down, and I was taken down to the field ambulance. And I knew most of the field ambulance people because I'd met them in Normandy previously. I knew them. They were, I mean, they were a field ambulance in Europe, and they were a field ambulance in Korea. In Korea, they were the 26th field ambulance.
What illness did you have?
Bronchitis. The sick parade and the sick rate went up considerably. However, I'm saying that I was evacuated, and they sent a relief from battalion headquarters, and of course I knew him, to deputize until I came back. But what happened was that he said, well, he wasn't going to have it as cold as I was, so he looked round for a stove, and he looked round for some piping, and he stuck the piping through the thatch, lit the stove, and of course company headquarters was burnt down, so they sent him back very quickly and said that they much preferred to wait until I came back. So that was quite item. Then that's all from the Piontek area. I can go to 327 now, can I?
Please.
Right. Well, 327 then, as far as we were concerned, was not so well known as it became.
This is Hill 327.
Yes. Because 327 was a hill in front of us, but we were on another one before it. And the hill we were on was very steep. It would take you about 2 hours to climb up it and 20 minutes to come down it. But D Company occupied an area on the right. Two platoon of A Company were also on the right of Company HQ. Company headquarters was more like in a saddle area of the hill. And then there was after the saddle, there was a bit of a slope, and three platoon occupied that. And so that's where we were based. People's tempers flared when, after the 2 hour climb up. Because it was so steep, but we couldn't exactly see over the top of 327, so we must have been, roughly speaking, about the same height.
So the object was to push the enemy off it?
They were building up for an attack on it. But we replaced the Americans on the hill we had occupying. We replaced the Americans. We arrived there. The Americans went off, and we took over. The artillery was firing night and day on 327, and we had an OP with us. At that stage, it was Captain Newcomb. Of course, that was Royal Artillery. That'll be important in a few moments. So we arrived there one day, and then early the next morning, we were attacked. You could hear the Chinese coming up the hill, because you could hear they had clickers, and you could hear them coming up the hill. And actually, before they actually got up there, I was on guard myself. So I went back to company headquarters. They attacked two platoon who I think were perhaps defending the wrong way, but they there were two men lost their lives there, and there were several wounded, and there were several Chinese killed there. When daylight, before that, I heard Major Anger on the radio to Lieutenant Preston, who was in command of three platoon, say, "You have about an hour to daylight. You've got to make the best of it," because of course they were getting mortared by the Chinese. Well, then two platoon had been attacked, and they had had casualties. And at daylight, the sergeant major sent myself and the stretcher bearers to deal with their casualties. I hadn't been there long before a deputation arrived from 3 platoon, and they said, "Come with us." So I left the stretcher bearers to carry on with 2 platoon, and I went to 3 to see what they wanted. And it appears that the 3 platoon had waited till the Chinese had got right up close, and then let them have it with the Bren. And Bob Middleton, of the, who I've mentioned, was responsible for that. As I say, at least 10 Chinese went to their maker, except one. And he was badly wounded. And they'd asked me, that was why they sent for me. So I fixed up his wounds. He was wounded in the leg. And then I left to return to company HQ. And I passed the intelligence officer as I went by. Meanwhile, the firing on to 327 was still going on. And in the evening, a shell fell short And one chap that had been on guard had just gone to bed, and he was killed. And there were several more wounded. At this stage, the company were severely shaken. In fact, a private soldier actually came up to me and said, he said, they want to give me a stripe. He said, if I'm afraid, he said, how can I tell them what to do when I'm shaking myself? However, he eventually got his stripes. But Major Anger called the company together and said, I know you've had a rough time, but he said, the only thing I can tell you to do, he said, is pray. And he said, you'll get over it. Well, then the next day we saw tanks surround 327, and it would appear that C Company were to do the attack with the support of D Company. A Company came off their hill, and there was an order for stretcher bearers to go to 327. And so the stretcher bearers went. I didn't go, because had I gone, the company would have had no standby medical at all. They would have had no cover. And so I didn't go. But they went. And eventually, 327 was taken. After that, we all moved over. And once we were together, there was a ballot for people to go on leave. And I was one of the lucky ones. And so I went on 5 days leave to Japan.
What month was the 327 fighting in? The early part of 51?
February, I think. I can actually check on that. But
it's all right, it'll be on the record anyway. Yeah.
That's on February.
What did you do in Japan?
Well, we had a look. We did shopping in the Ginza. We went to the theatre. Because, of course, everything was laid on for us. When we arrived there, we flew there in Dakotas. We went and showered, and all our clothes were taken off us, and we all got new clothes. And then we went to a hotel. The Ibitsu was the hotel we went to. And it was just like a hotel. Everything was laid on.
How badly did you need to leave?
Well, I think we needed a break. I mean, you couldn't wash very well out in, unless you actually got things organised. I think it was very necessary, and it gave one a break, and it was quite good for morale point of view. Unfortunately, I bought a pair of binoculars in the Ginza, and later on I lent them to Tony Eagles on 325, and of course he had to destroy them, so I lost them. So that's that area.
Did the troops suffer from diseases of lack of cleanliness? Because
no. It's I think the main complaint that any soldier had there, the MO had the worst, because they would get a message to say, well, so many men had got to go for dental treatment, and they would go to Japan for that, and they would be away perhaps a week, perhaps a little bit more, and it was ridiculous. They were just away. You were just that much short. The main thing, we had no real difficulty in keeping warm either. We had sleeping bags, well protected sleeping bags. I mean, they had a Kapok sleeping bag itself, and it had a plastic cover. And you could sleep out in the snow, sleep out in the opening quite happily and not get cold. Mind you didn't take your clothes off, it's true, but it's quite adequate. The main complaint was the boots. I mean, your feet got cold, you put your boots near a fire, and of course it burnt the leather. I mean, the boot repairs must have been enormous. But the footwear was the main complaint. We had dubbing for the boots, but that was very unsatisfactory, because you couldn't leave the boots anywhere. Because if you left them outside, they'd freeze. I mean, the winters were so severe that they would freeze the rivers up. You walk across the rivers. There is the thing about Pyongyang. Now, we were in Pyongyang, and we saw the Americans burning up all their equipment, because of they had at that time, excuse me, done the retreat, and the only thing I remember about Pyongyang is that we saw things burning up there, and we do know after we came across the river that the bridge was blown.
What were the GIs destroying?
All equipment, because they were going to withdraw from. They were going to withdraw.
That was back in December, was it? Sounds like it, from what I know of the campaign.
Yes, it could have been. But if excuse me. I hope that doesn't take much.
It's all right, don't worry.
The other thing, can we now go to the Imjin?
Please.
Well, we came, we all got on trucks to go to the IMGIM. And it was quite a pleasant setting. We crossed the river by Gloucester Crossing, and we had quite a pleasant outlook. A company was on the left. If you were looking north, A company was left, D company was right, C company was further back, in front of battalion headquarters, and support company occupied 235, the hill on the, that was on the other side, that was on the left, looking north. We had small tents there. We had some Korean temples in our area, but on the top of one hill, two platoon, they could look down on the River Imjin. They were more or less the highest point, or they had the best view of the river. On their left, on another part of a hill, was three platoon. And A company headquarters was more like in the middle of a paddy field, which had a small slope to it. And the temples were used as the cookhouse, and they were more or less level with the road. The pathway led up to the company area. A fortnight before we were attacked, now I'll go a bit earlier. We got some American Rangers in, and they said that they were going to try and capture a prisoner. So we went out at night to the IMGIM to try and get a prisoner. When they got to the IMGIM, they left the stretcher bearers and me in the middle of a field, and everybody else disappeared. They said they would come back for us, but all the same, they left us and they went. And it seemed ages before anybody came up. When they did, they took us down to the river. And the on this, where they were, there were very steep granite steps down to the river. And I fell over, and I must have been shaken, because at that stage I lost my rifle and I didn't know I'd lost it. They didn't get a prisoner, and we came back at 4 o'clock in the morning. And there were one or two apparently who were shaken up, who I didn't know about. And I got a rocket for that. However, they didn't get a prisoner. And then a fortnight beforehand, the Italian did a patrol with Centurion tanks across Imjum, and I don't know how many miles they went, but they went up through. We were in scrub and low-lying hills. We marched through there. And while we were marching through there, a deer suddenly appeared. And everybody took pop shots at it. And I don't think half of them hit it. But somebody did, because we had it for dinner that night. But they didn't find any Chinese. They certainly weren't there, and they had patrolled considerable, because we marched so far and the Centurion tanks went further, and they never saw any enemy. And then there's the story, which is perfectly true. There was the chap whose lorry broke down the wrong side of the river when we arrived there. And we got into our positions on the Imjim, and the chap had to go out the next morning, repair his truck and bring it in. Well, the next evening, about 5 o'clock, he appeared at company headquarters, because he had to report that the truck was repaired. But he arrived, he was dusty, he was oily, and he was thoroughly fed up. And he had to report to the company commander, who was Major Anger. He was perhaps a little fed up with having to wait. And he suddenly said, the Women's Institute has got more organisation than the British Army. And Major Anger, who had been delayed in seeing the chap, suddenly appeared and said, I should hope so. He said, my wife's the president. And that is perfectly true. And many years later, I met Major Anger's mother, and she confirmed the story. With regards to the beginning of the attack on Imjim, a couple of days before, a number of Koreans had appeared, and they were all taken down to battalion headquarters. But it was obviously something was going on. And at one stage, I asked the company commander